It's a beautiful day. Sun is shining. The wind is blowing. It's not quite as cold as it has been. And we're together. It's a beautiful day. The printing press has been considered one of the greatest inventions ever in the history of humanity. Up until its invention, all books were painstakingly lettered by hand, which made books very rare. But the printing press changed all of that. Information was suddenly made available to thousands of people. And one of the most significant accomplishments of the printing press was that it allowed people to have their own copies of Scripture. You know, I don't think we realize just how valuable a privilege that is in comparison to a time when they not only didn't have, but were ordered not to have Scriptures in their house. Now, that was the major focus of Martin Luther. He worked with a number of print shops in Germany to create Bibles in the language of the common man so that people could read God's Word for themselves. The story is told of one of the print shops that Luther used for that purpose. During one of the printings, one of the Bibles had been ripped, and a scrap of paper from that Bible ended up on the floor, where it was found by the daughter of the owner. On this scrap of paper were these words: "For God so loved the world that he gave." That's it. The rest of the verse was missing. But that simple phrase touched her. And the rest of the day she went around with a smile on her face. Her mother noticed it and asked what had made her so happy. The little girl pulled out the crumpled sheet of paper and showed it to his mother. The mother read it and asked, "What did God give?" The girl replied, "I don't know. But if God loves us enough to give us anything, he must love us very much." Now, John 3:16 is one of the most beloved verses of the Bible. You'll see it displayed on billboards, on bumper stickers, on paintings and statues, and even at sporting events. It tells us, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Now, preachers love this verse. In fact, on SermonCentral.com, where I contributed some of my sermons, and thousands of other preachers contribute sermons also, we're told that there are thousands of sermons based on that one verse alone. Now, what's so special about that verse? Why should so many people recognize and love that one verse in Scripture? Well, There are several reasons. Number one, it's simple. Even small children can understand the idea that God loves them. There's a Christian chorus that's been translated into many different languages. The first verse begins with these words. Yeah. See if you remember. Jesus loves me, this I know. Now will you sing that with me together? Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little John's living below, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Now, thank you. That was good. But now I want everyone to join in, including you back in the overflow area. Please sing with such enthusiasm and joy that our children in children's church are able to hear it. That's going to be loud. And those who are listening to our service on the internet will hear it clearly too. So let's sing it strong. Jesus loves me, yes I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me, yes, Jesus loves me, yes, Jesus loves me, the Bible. Thank you. That was good. The song illustrates the power of one simple idea. Jesus loves me. That's what that young girl in the print shop understood when she said, if God loves us enough to give us anything, he must love us very much. It's such a simple message that it speaks to everyone in every language. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And it's a message that gives our unity as believers. It doesn't matter where we were born, what language we speak, or what we look like. That's fortunate. Or whether we're male or female, we are all one in Christ. And it doesn't matter what we've done with our lives before we became Christians. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You know, there are people who struggle with that whosoever. There are people who believe only righteous people, only good people, are going to make it into heaven. Now, you know, Jesus told a parable about a man like that in Luke, the 18th chapter, verses 9 through 14. I'll just tell the story. There were two men that came to the temple to pray. One man was a sinner, a tax collector. The other was a Pharisee. And the Pharisee listed in his prayer why he was righteous, why he was a good man. He said, I fast twice a week. I give you a tenth of all that I get. And I'm not like that man over there. But that man, the tax collector, stood before God, beat on his breast, and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And Jesus said, I tell you, that sinful man went home justified, or just as if he had not sinned. God had mercy on the tax collector who realized his need for forgiveness. Now, Paul wrote a letter to a church like that. This is what he told the Christians in Ephesus. You were dead in trespasses and sins. You lived in the passions of your flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. In other words, they, just like you and me, didn't deserve God's love. We don't deserve His love because we've all been children of wrath. In other words, we sinned. God had a right to be angry with us. We were controlled by sinful desires. We didn't deserve for God even to look our way. But He did. Now let me one more time remind you what I've just read to you. God had a right to be angry with us. We were controlled by sinful desires. You remember those little tantrums that you put on at times when you're young? Do you remember the way you acted sometimes when somebody disagreed with you? Do you remember, well, I don't need to tell you what to remember. I can remember myself. We deserved to be called sinners because we did sin. And you know, sneakingly, I believe that we knew within ourselves, even as we did it, uh-oh, this is wrong, but I'm mad. Okay, that's enough of my extra sermon. But Paul continues on, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. God saved us. I mean, just to say that and say that over and over again. God saved us, not because we were righteous, not because we deserved it. No, He saved us because He loves us. He loves us with a great love. He sent His Son to die for us. He sent His Son to the cross to pay the price for our sins. Jesus was mocked, beaten, whipped. He had nails driven through His hands and His feet. His cross was lifted up. You know, this is something I have to remind myself. They did all that kneeling and everything while he's lying on the ground on the wooden cross. But then when he's finally thoroughly nailed to the cross, they picked the whole cross up with Jesus on it, took the hole that had been dug, and dropped it into that hole. Can't you imagine the tearing of the nails in his hands, his feet? For 6 long, miserable hours, Jesus hung between heaven and hell, suffering unimaginable pain and agony. Why would he do that? Because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. There's an old poem. Possibly you've heard it sometime. It says it this way. Jesus paid the debt he did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away. And now I sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace, because Jesus paid the debt I could not pay. Someone once dreamed a dream where he saw Jesus, and he asked Jesus if he loved him. And in the dream, he saw Jesus standing there, and he saw Jesus stretch out his arms as if on the cross and said, I loved you this much. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. But why would God go to that length for folks who were, well, dare I dare call us losers? Now you may think you're insulted by that. But boy, there have been times when I've called myself a lot worse than that. We've been called up in the Bible children of wrath. Now why would God send his only begotten Son to die for people who basically didn't deserve his love? If others knew what you and I have said or done or thought. Now let me say that again. If others knew what you and I have said or done or thought, they would know you and I were really, well, kind of worthless. In fact, there are people who really think that way about themselves. They think they have no worth at all. They know what kind of lives they've lived. They can hardly stand themselves. So how could God possibly care what happens to them? They see themselves as having no worth. Have you ever heard someone say, something is worth whatever somebody else is willing to pay for it? Have you heard that statement? For example, how much would you pay for a used toothbrush? Well, my answer, of course, is nothing at all. But would you believe that someone actually paid $21,000 for a used toothbrush. Why on earth would anyone do that and pay that much? Well, they paid that much because of who it belonged to. That particular toothbrush once belonged to a man named Napoleon Bonaparte. It was only a used toothbrush, but it's worth $21,000 because that's how much someone was willing to pay for it. Now, back in 2009, a TV program called Pawn Stars. Now, it's been so popular that it's run for 25 years now. And by the way, I was addicted to it. Every chance I could, I'd watch that program. And I would just marvel at the things they would find. What I'd marvel the most was how much some things were worth and how much some things weren't worth. But back, well, you know the story. It's about a pawn shop and its owner in Las Vegas, Nevada. And each program featured someone bringing in, well, what, a rare coins, or a rare book, or a rare gun. And they would want to sell it. Now, those people who came in wanting to sell it, oftentimes, on some of these rare objects, wanted to sell it for thousands of dollars. Well, the pawn shop owner would look at it and usually admit that he had no idea how much it was really worth. And he would ask the seller, "Would you mind if I called in an expert to look this over? Tell me about it." So the expert was called in and would say, spend a few minutes then looking it over and then explaining the history and background of the gun or the coin or the book. And when the expert was done, the shop owner would ask him, "So what is it worth?" And the expert might say, $35,000. Wow. I don't know how I have anything worth that. Then the pawn shop owner turns to the seller and asks him, "How much do you want for this?" Well, the seller might say something like this: "Well, you heard the expert say it was worth $35,000, so that's what I want, $35,000. And the pawn shop owner says, "It's not worth $35,000 to me. I have to make a profit too. I'll give you $28,000 for it. But that's the highest I'm going to go." Now what the pawn shop owner was saying was this: the object was only worth so much to him. It might be worth more to someone else, but not to him. The object was only worth so much because that was all he was willing to pay. Now, here's my point. What are you worth? What am I worth? Are you worth something? worth nothing. Like I said before, there are folks who don't think they're worth much at all. They know what they've done and thought and said, and they often despise themselves. They hate who they are, and they think God hates them too. They don't think they're worth very much at all. But I know how much you're worth. I do. I don't care what you think you're worth. I know how much you're worth because I know how much God was willing to pay for you. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. You're so valuable to God. I see on the TV pictures of San Francisco, New York City, or some other metropolitan area. I see the tent cities. I see the trash. I see the tents. I see all that's going on. And I can think, well, I know why they think they're not worth anything. But God has a different view of you and me. We can belong to Him. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. God was willing to pay for you, whether you realize it or not. He was willing to pay with blood. You are not your own, for you are bought with a price. You have been redeemed. God paid for you with the precious blood of Jesus. Jesus, who was God in the flesh, suffered and died for you so that you could live with Him. Oh God, I thank You. I thank You for such love. I thank You for making it so clear and plain in Your Word. Not making it something difficult or hard. Not making it something that so shames us before others. But making it simple. First of all, to realize You love us that much and make it simple enough for us to respond to that love. Father, for those who are here this morning who've never responded to that love, who've never come before others and say, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and I accept Him. I want Him to be my Savior. Oh, Father, such wonderful words. Wonderful in what they say, and wonderful in what they mean to us for all eternity. Father, forgive us and draw us to You as we stand, as we sing. Amen.